Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, the 28th day of August, 2019, and the readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting at verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 17, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11 through chapter 55, verse 5, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 4, verses 1 through 69, and also chapter 9, verses 1 through chapter 10, verse 42. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, it is Watchman. And be sure to take time to listen to the pertinent articles by The Watchman. All articles are on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, unless it is specified otherwise. This week, we feature Christian Hope Makes Us Unashamed. Even as we live in a world where we are surrounded with division, hate, and war, there is hope. Yet in this world, many face hopelessness. America has everything going for it. It is still free. It is not embroiled in a civil war. People still can still be free to drive, walk, play, and work pretty much as they want to. But our own hatred, our own desires, and our own selfishness has brought us to our knees. Also, offended, the world and the faith of Christ. Offended by the world, not have any faith, let alone the faith of Christ. Ask the world a faith question, and chances are they will really have no clue as to the real issues of Jesus Christ. You may hear the word, but it is diluted. I should say diluted. Today we are in a swamp of unbelief, secularism, and filth. Yet it seems a strange thing to really discuss filth, to declare, thus saith the Lord. Everything today is user-friendly, including Christianity. In America, I call this the Sugar Plum Church and the Fairy Tale Jesus. So be sure to read those articles and pass them along to your friends. These articles by The Watchman are encouraging and they help in your walk in this world. And you can, of course, go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to listen to all the shows from those two websites. And before I invite the Watchman, here's a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad we can be here again tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, and we're at the end of another month, practically. We've got a few more days left, but...
Yeah.
And we're getting at the end of summer. Labor Day signals, really, the official end of the tourist season. When we worked up in the park, you know, this signaled the end of the tourist season up in the park.
Yes,
boy,
it
that
did.
That was a long time ago.
Yep, sure was.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No.
Well, at any rate, you know, things go by so fast, and it really does seem like we were just in the park not too long ago.
Oh, I know, but it's been like 21 years.
Long time.
Hey, one thing I want to mention before, because I don't want to forget, I want to remind everybody to pray for our brethren and also the people of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and Florida, this hurricane that Tropical Storm Dorian turned into a hurricane, and it's not good. So just remember to pray for the people of the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, that God will have mercy in his judgment and bring him through this.
Well, we do have listeners in both Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, among other places. We have contacts that, you know, from the UK to Scotland, Ireland. And then, of course, you
Canada,
go the other way.
In the middle, the Far East and...
The Philippines and Australia.
Yeah.
We had some down in New Zealand. I don't know, you know, it, when you think about it, you know, people from all over, and of course, you know, on our websites over all these years, we've had, and I haven't looked for a long time, but, you know, in the old days when I would look, you know, we would have people from just about every country on the globe that they were well represented, and the top usually was, you know, a lot of surprises, you know, from Russia and China, small countries as well, the UK, I think I said that, Canada, America. Yeah, so it's really strange. One time we had Russia that came up on our radar. Surprise, surprise. You know, just about every page we had on our website, they visited. So it could have been, you know, a search engine, you know.
A robot.
It wasn't a regular search engine, that because our system recognizes the search engine. But these were... And then one time we had people, and we knew where it was. It was from the laboratory down in Los Alamos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, at any rate, you never can tell who's listening or going to your websites.
No.
Up front, tonight, we have a couple of stories. They're rather short, one out of Pakistan, one out of Eritrea. You know, I have talked about the fact that when we deal with the end of days, that as Christians, we have a right to defend our family.
That's
if
right.
If you were in your house and someone burst in and they were doing something to your wife, you would pick something up and stop them. If there was a bunch of them, you would stop them. And the biggest thing we see overseas continually is people who don't have guns like we do in America. in America, people can get shot here. We have the castle doctrine where we live, that if someone comes in the door to harm you in any way, you can shoot them. And, you know, and it's not that you want to, but, you know, like in this one over in Pakistan, of course, Christians don't have any rights at all. But a family, four members of a Christian family are charged with murder. They defended their daughter from sexual assault. Muslims attacked the home of this Christian man. And they came in with knives and they attempted to rape their 26-year-old daughter, Rachel, but were stopped by this guy and other family members. And it, you know, we have seen this so many times because even the attorneys that try to represent them, there's no justice.
Right.
And so, since the Christian family was defending themselves, Khan got some injuries. They handed Khan over to the police. Now, this is the guy that tried to rape this woman. He got medical treatment, but he died. So then the police arrested the four members of the family, charged them with murdering Khan. And the family said, "We're sad." Go ahead.
No, finish.
Well, we are sad about the death of Khan. However, the Christian family did have the right to defend, Sindh Hugh explained. The police must conduct a fair investigation into this incident. And I pray that they do get a decent justice out of this. In Pakistan, it's hard for Christians to find justice. Matter of fact, it's getting to the point Christians around the world are having a hard time getting justice. Now, in America, and it's only because we got Donald Trump up there that things have changed, turned around. Under Obama, for Christians and Christian businessmen and women, it didn't fare so well. And it didn't. You know, you have a right. You know, if you were in your home and you had your grandson or granddaughter and they wanted to come steal him, are you just going to sit there like a dummy and let them take him? No.
You wouldn't.
No.
You'd fight back.
At least I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
You know, I mean, I've got stuff I'd throw at him. I got it. You know, I mean, I would do something. If you can't get to a gun, or let's look at it this way. If you're walking down the street, and this happens, New York City and other places, I've seen the cameras, they put them online, and somebody gets beat up, you know, and then when they get beat up and if they get knocked out, the thugs, I've seen it where they've even stripped like a white boy, and took everything he had and left him naked in the street. People stood around and mocked him. Wouldn't help him.
That's
or nothing.
Horrible.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
And I've seen
that's
it time and time again. It is unconscionable. And that's the kind of society, when you stand around out like that, you're not worth being a society. You are a disgusting society when you do things like that. And a nation that embraces this kind of damnable behavior is not going to stand very long. So if you're walking on the street and somebody's getting beaten or raped, are you just going to stand there like an idiot, like the other idiots, and do nothing? Well, yeah. No, you better not. You need to intervene and stop them. Well, they're gang members. Well, you know, gang members can be sent to hell just as quick as anybody else. You know, this is the problem with America. This is the problem. And this is the problem around the world we see time and time again. The next one is out of Eritrea. It's known as being one of the worst offenders, violators of human rights, although the number one spot in our book is North Korea.
North Korea,
Afghanistan is next, because Christians practically don't have a chance there. And then China's in there. Of course, China went up because they're getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So more than 150 Christians have been rounded up and thrown into prisons. The World Watch Monitor is the one that's been documenting this. And first they started off with 70 members of the Faith Mission Church of Christ. 35 were women and 10 were children. Boy, those were really threats. I mean, what kind of a man are you when you round up 35 women and 10 children and throw them in prison? What kind of a man are you? I'll tell you what kind of a man. You're a chicken, you know what?
You're
disgusting.
Coward.
You are. So they were taken to one of their infamous prison. This one was made of underground tunnels. That kind of sounds like the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
And they keep them down there. And a lot of times in Eritrea, at least this is according to some of the news that comes out, Christians are held without charges. And we've seen this in Pakistan. We've seen it in India. We've seen it in China. They don't care. Iran. There's a lot of them that do that. They'll throw them in jail and just hold them. So these are two places you need to pray for. And remember places like some of these that we're going to be talking about. You know, some of these advocacy groups International Christian Concern. Another one, of course, is real popular that you would know is CBN. There are a lot of real in-depth humanitarian groups and groups for the church to find help. And they need financial help as well. So don't forget them. We bring this stuff up, and we want to bring you the news, but be sure you're praying for them. And if you can help them financially. Because I can tell you, there's a lot of these groups, you don't find them just in America. You actually, you know, you do find them in places like Switzerland. You find them in Norway. You find them in Denmark. You find them in Ireland, you find them in the UK. There are Christian ministries around the world, but the majority, the biggest ones, are here. Now, there are some real big ones are in the UK. So, and the ability to give, you can give today just about any of them with no problem. That's the good part. So we're going to do another one. Tower and I are going to be talking about the Republic of Congo. Democratic Republic of Congo. You know, the thing of it is that now this comes out of BarnabasFund.org. Now, they are a good group, and they do deserve your prayers and help as well. But in this one, Islamist extremists, you know, Tower, when was the last time we reported on Christian extremists rounding up 200 Muslims?
Never. Maybe that's a good idea, though.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I really think that somebody needs to get their butts in gear and round up some of these armies. And if some of these, of course, there are so many that don't do anything about it. Buhari in Nigeria doesn't do anything about it. And, of course, he's a Fulani, and the Fulani are the ones that are killing all the Christian farmers down there. Nobody yeah. does anything. You know, the UK, I mean, the UN, the only thing they can do is harass Israel.
Right.
You know, talk about a whore organization, literally. It's filled with Muslim nations, among others. But, you know, why do we let them sit in a body of governance when they allow oppression of Christians and other groups?
Just yeah, like that's China. It's supposed, UN's supposed to be out there to help people, not help them to be oppressed, and
yeah.
let people in there that in that to let countries in that are persecuting people. And I can't understand, I'm sorry, I can't understand why somebody isn't doing something in all these countries to stop this persecution of Christians. Uganda and Pakistan and...
Well, you know, even when there was a war against Saddam Hussein, which I thought we shouldn't go into it, but... you know, the United States led the way. There's a lot of times everybody expects the U.S. to lead the way. I think
yeah.
it's about time the nations started doing something instead of sitting in their little meetings in the U.N. and find things wrong with Israel all the time or the U.S.
Yeah.
Besides, if we were talking about the one nation on earth that has the largest imprisoned population of people for that, for their faith, you know where that is?
Maybe Pakistan?
China.
Yeah.
China has rounded up the Muslim Uyghurs. I can't say it's, I think it's I-M-G-U-R-S. But they have a prison, and I forgot how many they had in it, but in the article, it was, this made them one of the world's largest prison camps.
That's horrible.
You know. Now, see, I don't like that either. I don't like Christians getting killed, but I don't think it's right, you know, to go out and, you know, and round up these other groups either. You know, I'm not for
no.
that. I live in America where we've got freedom of faith and religion, and whatever people want to do, that's fine. But just like the one that Barnabas Aid wrote about in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and which is, you know, I guess you could call it a Christian nation. I wouldn't say it's, but at any rate, 200 people, including women and children.
Yeah, this is horrible. They're being terrorized. And
they were abducted, and it was a church hospital. The church hospital is there to help people. And these
right.
idiots went in there and took them hostage. Of course, this is what they do, you see. These Muslims extremists show you how tough they are by stealing girls. Remember? Leah Sherabu and all the young girls
yeah.
that were captured at the girls' school. Girls' school.
Yep.
They didn't have no army surrounding them. They had a couple of, you know, guards that are supposed to help protect them. But these guys went in there, swept, went through it, killed a bunch of people, and took a bunch of Christian girls captive and let the Islamists go. This is really brave. Cowards. Yeah, pure,
yeah.
unadulterated cowards, and they call that going to war and jihad. So if they die, if by chance one of those girls overpower them and kill them, well, they can go to heaven and have 70 fair-haired virgins that they can sleep with. Oh, are they in for a surprise? I mean, this is such a load of crock. It's just
yeah,
absolutely disgusting. That these people call themselves warriors, you know, and who are they kidnapping? Innocent men, women, and children. Now let them face a real army. You know, in the old days when you had the kings, you know, and they'd go out with their armies, the king and his court, all the ones that were there would go out to war. The king didn't sit on his butt in the throne room. He got up and went to war. Now, that's how David got in trouble. He should have been out on the battlefield. He's a warrior king. But he stayed home, and he saw Bathsheba, and he committed adultery because he should have been out. Instead, he stayed at home. Now, I'm telling you today that somebody needs to stop these lily-livered cowards. And they need to send them to hell where they belong. If they can't just stop it, somebody needs to stop them. But nobody's going to, because when we look at the way things are in prophecy, the blood that's spilled, and that's why I'm teaching on blood guilt. Because I can't stop it. You can't stop it. The governments of men ain't doing anything. Matter of fact, a lot of times they embrace Islam.
I think it's just horrifying. And these Muslim extremists are attacking people who can't even defend themselves. So that really shows how cowardly they are.
That's right. And not only that, I was right. The Congo here, the Democratic Republic, is a majority Christian country. But we wanted to cover them. You know, they were saying that the people are terrified. Families are traumatized and grieving over their abducted loved ones. Now, that would be terrible. And this particular Islamic militia has never been active in this region. So people are confused and bothered. And see, this is what he says. I appeal to the people of goodwill everywhere to lobby their home government, pressure on the DR Congo government to stabilize the security situation in eastern Congo. And we also appeal for a massive outpouring of sustained prayer from Christians everywhere. Now, you know, the thing here is that by putting pressure on governments, and this is where the American Center for Law and Justice comes in. They do that at the highest levels. That's another ministry that you can support. And they also work at home defending our rights. So,
and defending the unborn as well.
That's right. That's right. So at any rate, we wanted to cover this because this is some fresh news out. And, you know, it's just bothersome. We do this week after week, but we've been covering Christian persecution for over two decades now. And it's always the same. And it's not just Muslims. Majority of them, 90% or more, are Muslims. Now, not all Muslims are extremists, but all extremists are Muslim. Now, having said that, there are Hindus that are extremists and other faiths that are extremists that are also causing trouble for Christians. Nevertheless, remember them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you want to remember them. You got to be careful not to let yourself get desensitized to this horrible persecution of our brethren. And remember to pray for them daily. And whenever they come to mind, pray for them.
Well, we're going to go to one more here, and then Tower's got one we got to do. This is America's struggle with God's truth. You know, we have a big problem in this one. And we have so many user-friendly churches. And this came out, and ChristianNews.net is the one who had brought this. They were talking about the Red California Church, Bethel, which led by Bill Johnson. And, of course, everybody has a Facebook page, and he posted and they said that his program for those who struggle with homosexuality has never had the message of all must change.
suggesting that those who feel fulfilled and happy as they are aren't required by God to repent. Now, you know, the bottom line of it is here is that LGBTQ and more, transgender, everything else, is not going away out of the modern world. There are real people that are struggling with this, and there are also real people that have no intention to stop. Now, if you want to know the biblical answer, you can find it in Jude. He tells you. And when it comes to sin, sin is all-encompassing. If you think homosexuality or any of these other related items are the only sins out there, you're nuts. There are a lot of sins. Paul goes through them. And so the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says the soul that sinneth, God commands all men. You see, we live in a nation that doesn't feel it needs to repent. We have churches that don't feel comfortable with the message directly telling people to repent. Many of them have user-friendly churches, which is what this sounds like. Nevertheless, I don't preach against homosexuality. I preach against sin. And homosexuality and a lot of these others come under sin. And people need to repent.
That's right. Amen.
It's as simple as that. But I'm not going to argue over it. And like people in a restaurant that are in one of the definitions of LGBTQ, whatever, you know, I don't have a problem with it. Now, if you have some of them parading on the street in debauchery, showing off their godlessness and trying to influence little children and others, then I've got a problem with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line of it is, a lot of places around the world that wants to create an atmosphere where this kind of lifestyle is okay. Now, in America, it's okay. In many nations, it's okay to be this way. It's not okay. And that message is not going to change for those who want the biblical message. But that doesn't mean that even with the biblical message, you can't show love and compassion and try to help people. And, you know, but a lot of them today, we've had several generations of people out of our schools that have been trained in this loose-lipped living of sexual immorality that we do. And I can tell you, committing adultery is just as immoral as anything else. And we have a lot of committing adultery. And we have pastors that get caught up in these kind of lifestyles, and they get away with it. Priests, and that's been in the news lately too, where you have some of the top priests, you know, one in particular, top priest in the Vatican, is facing charges of homosexuality. And they've got the choir boys that he did it to testify. So the bottom line of it is that, you know, this is not going away. Doesn't want. When push comes to shove, the message of God always is important than the laws of man. That's right. It's about time, Christian, that you figured out which law is more important. And that when man's law begins to trump God's law, then you got a decision to make.
That's right.
Now, Austin, are you ready with yours?
Can you hear me very well?
Oh, because you were cutting out, and I think it might be my phone. But okay, this comes to us from Open Doors USA, and this is about the cost of following Jesus Christ in India. And there was a man. There's a man named Mohan. He had lost his father, and he's a young farmer, and he lost his father. He was in his hut when this group came to his home, ripping tiles off the roof, doors off hinges, and they went out inside. They had bamboo canes, and they threatened them with them. Their object of hatred was this family who did not worship the god of the village. Apparently, there's a custom in the villages in India that you have to worship the god of that village. And wonder what that was about. But anyway, their object of hatred was this family because they wouldn't worship the god of the village. And Mohan and his brother and sister waited as they watched the mad crowd in their hut. They were yelling at them and they threatened them. And he didn't know what to do, so he just prayed one of the men grabbed Mohan and told him he was a disgrace and then hit him in the face. And the leader of the Panchayat, a group of elders who dictate the rules of life and community in the village, issued three warnings to Mohan's family. And, of course, they're always the same issue: to leave the church and this Jesus who you follow. And Mohan and his family have never denied Jesus in spite of the threat and the violence, and they destroyed their house just because they believe in Jesus. Eventually, Mohan's uncle came to defend them and gave them enough time to leave their home and village before things got worse. But they lost their home, their community, their friends, their farm, their livelihood. And before trusting Jesus, Mohan and his family followed the religion of the village, one that worships the stones. But Mohan and his mother both got very sick, and the village religion didn't provide the help or the hope they needed. And when he was 20 years old, someone came to the village and told Mohan's family about Jesus and invited them to the church outside the village. And both his mother and he attended, and during the first service, the pastor prayed for them. It was an encounter with Jesus that would change the course of their lives. Mohan said, "His eyes were closed in prayer, and I saw a light coming towards me, and I felt that someone had opened my eyes." And through the church service, Mohan says he and his mother were both healed, and Mohan's illness was now gone, along with his mother's stomach issues. And on that day, Mohan and his mother accepted Jesus. And the people in the village soon took notice that they were worshiping Jesus. And they started opposing them. And after the village leaders kicked them out of their home, the Panchayat also went to the police to report Mohan's family. And instead of supporting Mohan's family, pursuing justice and arresting the attackers, the police ordered Mohan and his mother not to return to the village. And so with few options, the family decided to build a small makeshift hut near their church for shelter. But since they'd lost their home and their farm, they had no way of making a living. And now they have new hope because the partners of Open Doors heard Mohan's story. They met with him and prayed with him and encouraged them in the faith. And they also provided Mohan with goats, a tarp, rice, and help with financial support. And now Mohan said with a smile, "We have paid the, you have paid the money for the goats and supported us. I will raise the goats, and when they bear more goats, I will sell them and earn money. If this organization had not helped us, we would have faced difficulties, and even more would have increased." And he says now he feels with this help from the organization, he feels strong and he has hope in the future. You know, their struggles aren't over, but he has joy in Christ. And he says he's forgiven the people that were against him. And he said, after forgiving them, I feel peace in my heart. And he rejoices in the fact that three other families from the village have come to know Jesus through this family's testimony. So that's really exciting. And he said when asked if he would go through it all again, choosing Jesus, Mohan looks up and says, yes, it's worth it to walk with Jesus. Yes, that's what people feel when they've really been delivered and healed and delivered. They know that peace that passes all understanding and the world can't give it.
That's right.
Lord.
Well, that was a good story. We had some problems behind the scene, everything disconnected from Blog Talk. But you, I think, stayed connected.
I did, and I waited for the music to stop and went back into the story, so I hope it all came through.
Well, I'm sure it did. That's really weird, because when this happens, we're still connected to the show. But at any rate, I'm glad you kept doing it, because, when Blog Talk was in their beta stage many, many years ago, we were one of the first radio shows to get on it. And this is what it reminds me of. They had a lot of problems back then. But they don't have those problems anymore. And at any rate, I hope that everybody got to hear that. That was definitely a good one, and we apologize for the music and the problems. I don't know why this thing went south.
You know, this is the cost in not only India, but many other countries around the world. This is what they face: persecution, the destruction of their homes, mutilation, rape, pillaging, theft, being kicked out of their villages, no way to make a living. That's the cost. That's the real cost of following Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, the next story we're doing is on PM Modi, Prime Minister Modi. And extremists, of course, they continually to cause trouble for Christians in India, and Tower Red U, an example of that. But, recently Trump had met with a group of world leaders, and among them was India's prime minister, and Trump called him his friend. And Prime Minister Modi has even, been on the stage with or been in the field with Bear Grylls on his show going out. He's a popular man. I mean, politically on the world stage, a lot of people really like him, and he doesn't seem to see all the problems that going on, but this is a guy that has to deal with the radical Hindus that are there in India. And so the Evangelical Fellowship is calling on the government district authorities to take steps to safeguard the rights of religious minority communities and to provide protection for churches against attack. And that's what needs to happen in India. After all, people say that China is one of the world's largest populated countries. Well, I remember about 10 years ago or so, India surpassed China as far as population. I don't know where they're at today, but India is nothing to sneeze at. They're also a nuclear power, and they've had nukes for a lot longer than China has. But, you know, the whole situation over there in India, as well as other places, really. And, of course, you know, there are different places in India that are probably worse than others, like Uttar Pradesh. But, you know, Christians all over are facing trouble there. There are regions where Christians, I think, are fairly safe. But it's just one of those things, folks. We just want to bring this to your attention. And, of course, we've got another one. And that is one that you and I were also talking about. This is one that was covered by the National Review. They did a story on Christian videographers. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the constitutional order and limited the reach of expansive non-discrimination laws and protected a Christian couple from having to choose between their business and their conscience. Now, see, under Obama, most of these Christian business people like this had no choice.
Right.
They almost always were found in trouble.
Yep.
And so the trial court ruled in favor of the state, and the Larsons appealed. And the key question was whether the First Amendment would retain its supremacy and potency, even as non-discrimination rules and regulations expand. In this case, the Eighth Circuit answered with an emphatic yes, and it did so through a majority opinion that provided a clear roadmap. And, of course, they found that plainly Minnesota's was attempting to engage in one of the most intrusive state actions on the First Amendment. It was attempting to compel the Larsons to deliver a message they oppose. And I think that's a good ruling, of course.
Yeah, I'm glad they were found in the Larsons' favor.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the battle in America, I don't know why all these LGBTQ have to try to cram this stuff down the throats of Christian business people all the time, which is what they do. There's a lot of radicals.
They're trying to destroy them and take away their livelihood and, you know, just utterly destroy these people. And that is wicked. That is wrong. You know, there's another guy, Blaine Adamson in Kentucky. He has a shop that makes T-shirts and stuff. And
yeah,
he refused to make some T-shirts for this gay couple. But he offered to, he said, I can send you to someone that will help you. You know, he offered it to them and they refused and they went to court to destroy him, which is just so wicked.
Well, we saw that, like I said, under Obama a lot.
Yeah.
But that's not the way we do things in America. But that's the way certain people have made it that way. And Tower has another one. Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
This
comes to us from christian.org.uk, and this young man was delivered from the cult by the real Jesus Christ. And this man was forced to live in an Australian drug-taking cult until he was 15. And he says Jesus healed the damage he suffered. well, he's probably not so much of a young man now, but middle age, I guess. Ben Shenton was handed over to cult leader Ann Hamilton Bryce at just 18 months old. In the years that followed, he and other children were abused and indoctrinated. But now, more than 30 years after police freed him from the cult, he says knowing Jesus has given him lasting transformation. And the family, as the cult was called, believed Hamilton Bryce was a reincarnation of Jesus Christ and could help to re-educate people after an apocalyptic event. At one point, 28 children lived together and were forced into a strict routine that focused on meditation and yoga. Aunties is what the women were called, which included Shenton's biological mother, physically and emotionally abused the children. Adults and some teenagers were forced to take LSD while children were mandated to take sedatives. And Shenton told the BBC World Services that his life changed in 1987 at age 15 when police arrived to rescue him. He said, "I think for the first time in my life, I realized I was free." But because he had been hidden away for so many years, he struggled to integrate into society and spiraled downwards into having suicidal thoughts. However, joining a church turned his life around, and in the subsequent years, he came to realize who the real Jesus Christ is. And he wrote on his personal website, "The recent death of Hamilton Byrne showed the contrast between her and the Messiah. He died but then rose again and appeared to over 500 witnesses. When what Ann peddled was a twisted version of this that removed Jesus Christ out and put her there instead. After nearly 30 years of serving the real Jesus Christ, the damage done by a counterfeit Jesus Christ, Ann Hamilton Byrne, has been fully restored, and I'm in a far better place than what I could have ever thought or imagined. The real Jesus Christ promises this to all that would allow him to be their Savior and Lord." Amen. That, thank God for his deliverance. And our God is a God of restoration. And so thank you, Lord, for redeeming this young man.
Yep. I'll tell you, those stories is what it's about.
And how many more?
He was delivered.
Thank God. And restored.
Yeah. You know, that's what this is about. But the world, of course, doesn't understand. It never will. The Lord said,
No.
"If you find the world hating you, don't be surprised." I'm paraphrasing. Because it hated me before it hated you. You know,
okay.
I mean, Jesus was not killed by Muslim radicals. You know, he was taken to the cross by the most religious people of his day, led by the high priest himself. And the Sanhedrin even debated over it. And there was some followers of Jesus in the Sanhedrin, but they kept quiet. And, of course, he came to die on the cross, but that doesn't negate the fact that we found out who the enemies of the gospel is, and that's religious. So while we say that the world will hate you, well, the religious will too. And that is where you find extremist Muslims and Hindus and others killing Christians. It's not out-and-out Satanists and, you know, and other unbelievers, agnostics that are going around killing Christians. It's other people who have their own religion that are killing Christians. So you need to get your head on straight and understand who the friggin' enemy is. Now, there is one thing here, and we're not going to cover it now, and we may not cover it next week, and that's the Jesuit superior general who said the devil is not real. Now, this doesn't even deserve a story. We'll just put it at that. Anybody that believes this ding dong, you know, I mean, you deserve everything you get. But you got to make sure that you don't believe every nincompoop, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and especially with the Jesuits. The Jesuits were always a political organization, and they were in some parts of the world when, you know, Rome was first really getting around by ship, and the Jesuits were there first. And they were resilient, but they could also be real wicked, real evil. So no wonder that he came out and said, it's not real. No, that's because you found a lot of the Jesuits doing wicked things. But nevertheless, he's specifically talking about the devil. Well, he's going to have a fun time. So at any rate, we've got about 4 minutes left. We just wanted to let you know that we thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to go by the websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, which is sitting in a new website right now. It's called the Watchman Institute on danaglennsmith.com. The Watchman Institute is known as the WIVR. That's the WIVR of the WIVR Warren Radio. It has been with us from the beginning. We were the Watchman Institute for Biblical Research. Before that, we were Wings Ministries many, 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 many years ago. And then we became actually, Warren Radio is an offshoot out of the Watchman Institute, not the other way around. And the reason we did that, because we want to push, we want to target and do a little more teaching and seminars, books, and media. And we're not going to do everything at once. We're going to do a little bit at a time. But you can find out more over on danaglennsmith.com, and you'll see the new page. It's all self-explanatory, and you can just go from there. But we have I just got it up this last week, so be sure to check it out. Also, remember, we are on a lot of social sites, and you can find all those out and share the stories and get them out. And remember that here at Warren Radio, we also require financial help from people that want to help us in the nuts and bolts to keep the message going out in every form. And so eventually we want to have seminars and other things. And we have years and years of audios that we have to produce. And there's just a lot of things on our agenda that we want to do. So remember us in this manner. So, Tower, we're ready to go about. You got anything to say?
Well, yes, I do. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines. Dana will be in part 15 of Righteous Branches, Isaiah's Prophecies. So be sure to join us tomorrow night for that. Also, I want you to know that we love you, we pray for you, we care about you, and no matter what you're going through, don't let the devil steal your joy. God will never abandon you.
That's right. Remember, there is a real devil, but all you have to do is resist him, and he will flee. Okay? Yes, there's a real devil. And through Christ, you can overcome him. They overcame him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Jesus is Lord. He is the Almighty. Be sure you get on his team, on his side, his disciple. This is the Watchman. Shalom, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and don't forget to pray for your brethren. We love you. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.